Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLS number 3030.
Well, Tiptoe the Road Rage, we are back. We're getting real far. I have a first and second team All-SEC offense to get through, and we haven't even solved the quarterback on the first team yet. So, you know, we're really flying along here. Let me get Angry Lawyer and Malcolm. Malcolm was going by old school. Angry Lawyer, how are you?
Walt, I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, Angry Lawyer. Appreciate you getting in.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I was really angry because I flew up to Montana to fish this lake that I found on Google Earth. So me and my buddy went up there and climbed about 4.5 miles to get to it. We get to it. There's a sign saying, a horse just died, and there's bear activity here. And then I look over to the inlet, and there's a guy fishing it. And he's killing it. And we couldn't fish where I was at. And this whole trip was a disaster. So, well, I climbed up to the pass to see if I could get a signal, and it was 1 o'clock Montana time, and I turned and I logged into the 105.5 app and listened to the show for 3 hours, and it was the highlight of that trip.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that very much, Angry Laura. But I'm a little lost. You went all that way to accomplish your goal of fishing this Google Earth lake that you found, and you let the notion of a few bears prevent you from fishing?
Oh, I didn't care about the bears because we had bear spray, but if you ever seen a bear spray container, by the time you go through all the stuff to activate it, the bear will have teeth around your neck. So I wasn't worried about that. But it was a disaster. But like I said, I think Rory and Jay.
But this other dude was fishing?
It was windy, too windy on this side, because that's why we're going to the inlet. That's where all the fish are, and it's kind of sheltered.
This is what I'm trying to get at. So in other words, it wasn't the bear, nor was it the lone fisherman. It was like you're trying to tell me that the one good spot was taken, is what you're trying to tell me.
Correct, and I had climbed 4.5 miles up there to get it.
That may be the worst story I've ever heard.
It was awful.
I mean, yeah, no, you would. You know what? You need to kill him and bury him somewhere so you can just take the spot. You can't travel all the way to Montana and be dissuaded by one old guy who's got your spot.
Well, you know, I did end up fishing and catching a bunch in some small creeks, but it was. Like I said, Rory and JJ were talking, Lincoln and Reichley, smarter than 98% of the callers in here, including me. And then I think Blooper called in and put a mouthful of marbles in before he started talking because I couldn't understand anything. But well, I was wanting to call you as your sponsors.
By the way, was that the part of Montana that's grizzly bear territory?
Pretty much all of Montana is, yes. But this one had a dead horse.
Well, I think some of it is. Yeah, so you were central or further west?
I was 60 miles west of Bozeman.
Okay, all right.
So if you went, you know, 30 miles from Butte, and I'm gonna go out there again. I can get a redemption trip. I had two sponsors of your show. I'll give a good and a bad. The bad is the Ramcat Alley, the jazz thing. That guy creeps me out. I mean, I can smell his cologne all the way in Malden.
Oh, Lord.
And I get
Ramkett Alley is cool. Ramkett Alley's awesome.
I know when the jazz is, but that guy who does that commercial, yeah. He gives me the creeps. First Home Equity, we do a little bit of work with them, not much. But I can tell you this, when they're on our schedule, that thing closes. That one will close because they do their work, and a lot of people don't. So I got to give a shout-out.
That's what we're talking about.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, Colin Hill. This is tangentially related to the SEC thing. Mm-hmm. I go out there every year to see Colorado or Colorado State play. I went out last year when they played, I think, Western Illinois, and he had a great game. And then he got injured in the game next. The Arkansas game. My question is, you think he's going to push at Lindsey? Because I think he is because of Bobo and him having 3 years under that. What are your opinions of that?
Well, look, I've said from the beginning, I've watched most of the games he's played. He has always been an NFL talent. From the first game I saw him play, he's 6'5", 235 pounds, NFL arm. But he has been as injury prone as any quarterback in America. He has not been able to stay healthy. I mean, at all. The most yards he's ever thrown for in a season is like 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards. And the rest of his career, I think, is comprised of like 9 total games other than that season. He has just not been able to stay healthy. I think he's always had physical ability. He still does. I would have brought him in because I think it made perfect sense to bring him in. Do I think he can be your starting quarterback for a whole year? There is zero evidence of that.
Well, you know, that was a dirty hit on him by that Arkansas guy because I watched it. But, he's like Jake Bentley. That's got even more injuries than Bentley, but I think he can push Helinski. Helinski's smart, and Colin Hill's like Steven Garcia with a brain. I'll end by saying one thing. I know politically you and I don't see eye to eye, but we do see eye to eye on a couple things. One is the Boston bomber. They should have took him behind the jail and shot him.
Yeah.
And the second thing is mask wearing. I'm with you with the mask wearing. Everybody needs to put a mask on so we can have football and we can go out and get half-price sushi on Thursday nights. Otherwise, we're going to be locked up. So thank you, and enjoy the show, buddy.
Thank you, Angry Lawyer, as always. Appreciate the call, as always. Yeah, look, again, that's right. It's, no one gets it better than me, as I've said, and I don't want to spend much more time on this, but on the whole mask issue, there's nobody in the face of the earth who likes being told what to do less than me. I have never tolerated it at any level from first grade on. I just don't care for it. Having said that, the least you can do for your country and your fellow man right now is wear the stupid mask. It's just that simple. It's basically un-American not to. You think that somebody is taking away your liberties? That's just absolute bull crap. That is just dumb as a rock commentary. It can't be any simpler. You know, all through the history of this nation, people have surrendered their lives to protect our freedoms. Those people gave selflessly. And now your country is asking you to wear a 1 ounce mask to help protect grandma and somebody else's grandma and somebody else's mom and dad. And that's too much to ask. Some of the top medical authorities have said we could run this into the ground in 6 weeks if everyone would just wear a mask. Like I said, look, if you don't care about grandma and you don't care about mom and dad, you don't care about any of these people, and you just don't care about your fellow man and your neighbor and their health, then do it for sports. Do it because you like sports and that you want sports to continue to go on. I don't know why this is complicated. It's not a political issue. It's not an infringement on your freedoms. That's total garbage. That's absolute nonsense. Tell that to the families of all the people who have died, given their lives for this country. And then shut the hell up. Malcolm, old school, what's going on?
Well, I'm now known as old school. I'm no longer Malcolm, okay?
Yeah.
Old
school.
Now I'll be known as old school. Until yesterday, Kelly and I had a feud going, kind of a baby boomer millennial thing. You know, because Kelly thinks basketball started in the year 2000, so I had to educate her a little bit. I got one question for you and Kelly, and you know I only talk basketball, so just please bear with me a little bit. You got one shot for the game. Catch and shoot.
Bird. Bird.
Who do you want?
Bird.
No, Hunch, what will you please?
Bird.
You got Bird. You got Bird. You got Steph, you got Curry, and you got Jordan. Who do you want?
Well, catch and shoot. Curry. It's not Curry. Yeah, Curry misses every big shot he takes. He's like one for eight on playoff big shots, so it's not him.
Well, I had to throw him in for Kelly. Okay?
Catch and shoot.
Okay.
It's Larry Bird.
Catch and shoot. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kelly.
I mean, I love Steph, but it's Larry Bird. He's proved it.
Look at that. We just crossed the...
Look at that. Yeah.
All those concerns.
We're all getting along. It's beautiful.
We just bridge a generation gap right there, dude.
You know, and look, here's the thing. We're all a byproduct of what we've seen and know as well. So there's that.
Yeah. But I did want to throw another mention in there, Walton, for catch and shoot. Well, actually, two other guys. Catch and shoot now, right? Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
And Jerry West. Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to throw those two in.
The only reason I threw
Reggie Miller in there because I'm gonna call Kelly tomorrow on the 12 o'clock show and I got to have something to argue with about.
Well, you know Glock's gonna say Reggie Miller, so just get ready for that one, Malcolm.
He's gonna say Reggie Miller, and I just want to have something to argue about, right?
I like it.
Okay, guys, have a good show. I love you.
Quark thinks the best big man of all time was Rick Smith.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Say that again. He thinks the best big man of all time is Rick Smith, right?
Yeah.
That's good. You give me some ammunition. Kelly, if you can help me out tomorrow, I appreciate it.
I got you, old school. I got you.
Thank you.
Yep,
thank
day.
You, old school. Appreciate it. Yeah. You know, West is a player who, I mean, this is what happens. I mean, we have people who've never seen Jordan play and just have lost sight of Jordan from a history standpoint. So you know that West is suffering from a historical standpoint. If you actually look at West's numbers compared to Kobe Bryant, West looks like the better player, which will astonish some, but and remember, there's some evolution, but Wes is one of the greatest players who ever lived, and he is definitely getting lost by history. And, you know, and not just as a player, but you could argue as a front office guy that maybe nobody in the history of that game has meant more to the sport than Wes. You know, Wes did the same curse that Will Chamberlain did, is that he played in the time of Russell.
Yep.
And
how many finals
all,
did Jerry West lose? Or how many did the Lakers lose to the Celtics in that era?
Over and over
so many.
And over and over again. And in fact, West didn't win one until late.
Yeah.
Elgin Baylor actually gave up. And the worst part for West, Kelly, is that it broke him up. I mean, it made him physically ill to lose.
Mm-hmm.
There were times as the front office guy that he had to leave the arena because he couldn't even stand to watch his team lose then. And as a player to come so close. I mean, one of those series, he was named MVP that he lost.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, he said, even today, you get people sometimes will say things they don't really mean. This guy was asked about that, I don't know, like 6 months ago, and he said he doesn't talk about that. He said that no MVP should ever go to a losing team. He refuses to even discuss it. That he believes so strongly in that notion, which again sort of speaks to who he was. He certainly earned the Mr. Clutch moniker, and he was without question one of the most competitive players that ever lived. He's worthy of being brought up in that discussion.
And catch and shoot, as you know, Walt, is so different than if you're asking, okay, who do you want to have the ball in a one-on-one situation, that kind of thing, it's very different. But two other more modern names, let me throw these at you. Ray Allen is one, when you saw what he's done in the finals. Yeah. And then this guy is off the beaten path, but all he did was make big catch-and-shoot shots in Robert Horry. That guy, that's the reason why he was in the NBA. I mean, that's what he did.
It's true.
I'm not going to pick him over a Ray Allen or of course, a Larry Bird. But when I think catch and shoot big shots, that's all Robert Horry did.
Yeah. Robert Horry's greatest strength, though, was sniffing out and following the talent around the league.
Oh, yeah, just picking the right team to be on. Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, he was good at that. Ray Allen's certainly one of the greatest pure shooters the game has ever seen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he mastered his craft and worked specifically on his craft. I also don't want to just pigeonhole Bird as being just that.
No.
Bird was a better athlete than people understood, and time again, everyone on the other team knew where the Celtics were going with the ball, and it was just get out of his way and let him do his thing. And I'll say this. Look, we have so many great young players in the game today that are just incredible to watch, and certainly there are elements. You know, it's funny. I was watching Luka the other night in a losing effort. He scores 40 points. And, you know, you watch him, and time and again, he's driving to the rim, and he looks like, honestly, he looks like a guy at the Y. You know, there's nothing about him that looks explosive. He doesn't look particularly athletic. But when you really watch the finer points, the way the game is played, it fits him so well because he's a great passer, a great natural passer of the ball. He sees the whole court. And because we have shooters fanning out to the three-point line everywhere, the driving lanes are wide open. They don't let you hand check. And because of the analytics and the way the game is being played, you know, when you watch Luka drive, people are concerned. They're not helping off their guys. They're fanning out and they're guarding the shooters all around them. So the driving lanes are wide open. That game the other night, time and time again, Luka is driving to the rim without any help side defense, without any defensive rotation, just because of the way the game has changed, you know, because you've got his guys who are all fanned out beyond the 3-point line. And no one wants to leave these shooters because they realize what a great distributor he is. And so he becomes an impossible cover.
Yeah, and a lot of guys who maybe you would think, let's say 10, 20 years ago in a different era, might not have had the foot speed to get in the paint and make something happen and get by someone. It's easier now, to your point, Walt, because our respect for the three, which you know I love, has grown so much. And it's true. I mean, you look at it analytically. The three is so valuable in today's game, and every single person on almost every single team can shoot it. So the lane is much more wide open. I think it's an entertaining brand of basketball. But and people say they don't play defense these days. Well, it's tough at the NBA level to just stay in front of your man without any help side, but you can't really afford to have that much help side because Anthony Davis can shoot the three, you know?
Right. Well, especially when you can't touch him, too, and that adds to it. Like, most of those drives, no one touched Luka.
Right.
You know, he had, like, carte blanche to the rim. But it's not just that they've taken hand-checking out. It's partly the way the game is played and the width of these driving lanes. I mean, again, especially when you have a multi-dimensional guy like Luka who can really pass the ball. Mm-hmm. And so, when you watch Duke play for years, and I know you're a Duke lover, you know, much of the history of Duke basketball, the success has been drive and kick.
Yep.
And one of the great dilemmas with guarding Duke is whether you help on the drive. And the answer most times is you can't. If you, for much of recent history with Duke, I mean, going way back under Krzyzewski, if you do that, you wind up getting burned because that's what they want you to do. They want to take these threes. Well, you know, we're seeing that at the pro level now. And again, I think this game the other night where Luka scored 40 was a perfect example because the spacing on the court. You know, I do think this, Kelly, and I actually advocated for this recently. I do think that if I were to make some changes in the NBA game, I would widen the court. And I would lengthen the three-point shot. I think we have too many non-shooters shooting, and I really think they become too good at what they do. And I would like to see the distance at the pro level expand. And I also would like to see a four-point shot added at 35 feet. And there are there are a handful. Well, there are a handful of guys who can make that shot.
Oh, for sure.
Dame can make that shot. Steph Curry can make that shot.
It's a really good point, too, because I know we got to go to break, but you think of the court when Naismith put it together, right? He didn't envision these seven-footers. There's not enough space, necessarily, and you can't move the three-point line further because the baseline three is basically out of bounds.
Right,
so you would have to extend
the floor. Right. You only have 3 feet in that corner as is, and so if you're going to extend that, you have to widen the court to be able to keep the corner jumper in the game. Quick break. Walt Tipula joined by Kelly Gramlich.
One day, your Honda, Acura, Lexus, or Toyota is going to need an oil change. And there's that question, where do I take it? Before you make that decision, ask yourself what you're getting. Do they test drive your vehicle? Do they rotate your tires? Do they glance at the brakes? Or remove the tires and provide an exact measurement of your brake pads? What about suspension? Fluids? At First Class Halt, an oil change means so much more than routine maintenance. Come experience the difference. FirstClassHalt.com, your dealership alternative in Anderson and Greenville.
Getting to your Zen place is what Purple Haze is all about. With locations in Clemson and Williamston, they've been selected as the best place for piercing in the upstate. Purple Haze features body jewelry along with sage and crystals to bring your living space into perfect harmony. With the largest selection of glassware, Purple Haze in Clemson now offers tooth gems and piercings. Whatever it is, that girl will put a spell on you. Purple Haze, Tiger Boulevard in Clemson, Anderson Drive, Williamston.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Every Thursday night, we do it right. It starts at 7 o'clock. The streets will be blocked at 5. We'll start setting up then. Then at 7 o'clock, we get started with a little jazz on the alley. Check it out. These are just some of the artists you're going to hear right here live and in person. You need to come on down. Bring all your friends. And of course, if you've got guests in town, treat them for a little night of jazz on the alley. 7 till 9 right here on Ramcat Alley in downtown Seneca.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
It's a springtime and summer tradition. It's jazz on the alley, downtown Seneca, every Thursday night, 7 till 9. So grab all your friends and come on down. We get started with live outside music and outside dining. It's fun for the whole family. It's absolutely free. And you need to be here in downtown Seneca for a little jazz.
If you're a business owner, you're familiar with this situation. Health insurance rates have soared, so have deductibles. Your group is mostly healthy, but every year the rate goes up. You know, there could be a better way. It's not right for everyone, but we've helped a lot of people. If you and I were to sit down and review a few strategies together, and I identified $25,000 you had no idea you were losing, is that a conversation you'd want to have? If so, call me at 864-INSURE-YOU. That's 467-8738. There's thousands of people who do what we do. I'm proud of my team and the great work we do. In fact, we were just recognized as the best insurance agency in the upstate. Thank you for believing in us, and thank you for the opportunity to serve. I'm Guy, the insurance guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Recapping the headlines from yesterday and looking at what's coming up today, the Mickey Plyler Show, weekday mornings on The Roar.
Hey, 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 mama, look at that.
Walter Tuli Road Rage, we are back. Georgia Tech Mike, I'll get to you in 1 second. Before I do that, let me tell you about Carson's. Carson's Steak Warehouse, the food is just unbelievable. I get the food all the time. And actually, I generally get takeout, even like pre-pandemic. You know, I generally get the takeout and sometimes have it delivered. And the Carson's is unbelievable. The filet mignon, you know that old adage about you can eat it with a spoon? Actually true at Carson's. The New York strip, insanely good. I've had the smothered chicken like 6 times. Comes with melted cheese and grilled peppers and onions. Just incredible. I get the sweet potato with everything. They grill the sweet potatoes. They're enormous. They serve with the cinnamon butter sauce. And then I dabble in the other things. I've had the barbecue chicken sandwich, insanely good. The chili cheese fries. I didn't know about the jalapenos that were available at the time. I would have done that too. They were great. But, you know, try the golden fried catfish sandwich for lunch, or the pork chop sandwich, or the barbecue chicken nachos, or the smoked ribs, which I hear are legendary, which I have not had yet. The fried okra, the apple pie. You can call in your order to go. First of all, they're open 7 days a week, and they're doing everything they can for your safety. The tables are spaced. The cleanliness is top notch every way. So you have two options. You can dine in or you can take out. And if you choose to call in your order to go ahead of time, you call 864-226-9400. 864-226-9400. It's Carson Steak Warehouse to go. 864-226-9400. Georgia Tech Mike. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good, Walt. Was that Nance Kelly answering the phone a little while
it
ago?
It is. Yes. She's answering the phone.
I apologize.
Oh, you're good. I don't even know what you said, Mike. You're fine.
Well, I didn't act like I didn't know you.
It's okay.
Two things, Walt. One is on the rivalry game.
Yeah.
SEC, some people there are saying that, well, they had to pay the Division II schools if they played the rivalry games for the missing games. Is that true? And if it is, does it affect the ACC also?
I'm sorry, Mike. You broke up on me a little bit. Run that back.
They said that the contract with the Division II schools on everybody's schedule required them to pay if they played any team other than the SEC team. So therefore, they had to drop the rivalry games.
I don't know.
In other words, it was going to cost.
You know what? Look, maybe there's some truth in that, but I have a hard time believing that that's the ultimate reason. I think that there probably was too much blowback from the teams not involved in the rivalry games that drowned out the rivalry game crowd. That was a discussion that took place at the ACC as well. Clemson lobbied hard for the rivalry game to be played, is my understanding. And I think that's why the ACC actually went with the model that they did. I don't know that the voices in the room were strong enough at the SEC level to maintain the rivalry games. And I think what's really unfortunate, as I said, allegedly the ACC and the SEC were in talks all along, and you would think that two leagues with the sharing the same general geographic footprint in many cases and sharing rivalry opponents would have certainly discussed it amongst themselves before going public with their respective announcements. And that was my biggest issue with it. I don't think it was handled well. I don't know who's to blame. I'm not looking to assign blame. I think that both sides could have handled the whole situation better, so there was some uniformity in terms of the public approach.
All right, let me hit you my second question.
Yeah.
If this COVID outbreak takes place at the beginning of the season, I had an idea of a fallback rather than just give up, and that's to just play the six divisional teams and then the winner of each division plays for the championship, as always. Take all the other games off and start it in October if this virus doesn't settle down soon. But I think it's going to settle down. But,
well, you know, Mike, I guess my answer to that is we haven't even started the year yet. I don't want to be surrendering anything yet. I'm not even thinking that way, to be honest. I'm thinking about playing, and I'm hoping that we get a full season in. I'm fully cognizant of the fact that this is a fluid situation and that, issues might arise, almost certainly will, and there may be some adjustment as we go along. Could it ultimately result in the type of scenario you just described? Sure, I guess. But I'm hoping that's a worst case scenario and that's not where we wind up.
Well, I'm just saying, don't throw the season out altogether if it comes to that.
Yeah.
Just delay it another month.
Yeah. I'm optimistic. I've been optimistic from the start.
Well, I know you have, and I hate to bring up anything. I just think we need plan B rather than give up.
No, okay. You're right.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, look, even baseball, as poorly managed as they are by Rob Manfred, is still playing. They're still playing. Now, football, obviously you have the contact element, which changes the face of it a little bit, but I'm still optimistic. I'm still optimistic, and I'm going to remain... Look, I'm going to remain optimistic until they tell me it's not happening, because I just can't stand the barrage of constant, incessant negativity that starts every stinking article like they're revealing information to us, Kelly. Every single article has to start with things look gloomy in the pandemic because this person is this. Like, we don't know that there's a pandemic. Like, we need to be told that in the first sentence of every stinking article. No, we figured that out already, Sherlock. We're taking our... We're ready. We want to play.
Exactly right. And I am with you, Walt. I am trying to basically do what you're doing as well, to stay as optimistic as possible until they tell us or don't tell us that we're not playing, right? Until we actually kick it off. But yeah, the idea that I need multiple headlines to remind myself that I'm in a pandemic, I have not forgotten. We all know that. So I'm with you on that, Walt. And yeah, I mean, you have to prepare like there is a season, just like, Clemson football and the guys are still preparing. Us radio hosts have to prepare too. So we're going sure. ahead acting like we're going to play some football. And I think there's a very good chance we do.
Tiger Pal Rachel says, two questions. Will Georgia face any real opposition to winning their division, assuming they keep divisions? And who wins in the other division between Bama, LSU, and possibly Auburn? Well, I mean, look, this fits with this conversation about the quarterbacks. I mean, I think obviously the chief challenge to Georgia is Florida. I know Tennessee wants to think they're there. I don't think they are. They're getting a little better. And then, I don't think they're necessarily a challenger to win the division, but I do think that every year we sleep on what Stoops and Kentucky have done, Kelly, and really what he's done is just unbelievable. And I was watching film this morning, and I've basically come to the conclusion that Kentucky has one of the top three or four offensive lines in America returning, and that's going to be to their advantage. Thoughts on the division, Kelly?
Yeah, Kentucky, you can never, it's a weird sentence, but these days with Mark Stoops, you can't count out Kentucky, which is just a weird sentence in general. But I do think it comes down to Georgia, Florida, there's no doubt about it. And what I think could be a big factor here, Walt, in the SEC East, from what we're hearing is... And we had Brandon Marcello on from 24/7 Sports, who's been talking about this division issue. And because in the ACC, you added Notre Dame, of course, so you had to get rid of divisions. You had an odd number of teams. I believe the SEC is going to keep their divisions. So then it comes down to who does Georgia add to their schedule and who does Florida add? I think that's going to be a big difference maker here, because we know Georgia is going to play Auburn. They already have that game set in stone. We know LSU and Florida are playing each other. So who do, I'm assuming they're going to keep the cross-division rivalries, but then who do these teams add in addition? You know, which team possibly gets to play Arkansas? I think that's a big question when it comes to overall record. And then, of course, it comes down to the head-to-head, which is going to be fascinating, too, because if we want to keep games on campus, do they play this game in Jacksonville? I kind of think they have to, because you can't just say, oh, sorry, Florida, we're going to play it in Georgia, or sorry, Georgia, we're going to play it in Florida. There's a lot with the schedule that I think could affect the Georgia-Florida battle in the East.
Yeah, you know, and just from the sanctity of that game standpoint, I don't know, this game may be, as much as any other in the country, hurt by the fact that we're not going to have people in attendance if it is played at the neutral site, at the alleged neutral site in Jacksonville. You know, even just watching the film, see that stadium just completely divided 50-50 and everything that it's meant. You know, I know that it's illegal now to call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Sorry, I'm still calling it
that. Wait, that's illegal?
Yeah, it's illegal. They made that illegal.
Oh, that's awkward, because that's the only thing I call it, but...
Yeah.
I guess I'll
have to
work on that.
Good. No. Screw them. We'll just keep calling it what we want to. And I think it's that game is so perfectly divided, and the fans are so engaged in that. It's such an intense game and rivalry. That game's really going to suffer if it's still played there and fans aren't involved. But obviously it's a game that's probably going to decide that. And the way I view it is, again, I think from a strictly talent standpoint, I think Georgia is the most talented SEC team. I think even more than Bama, slightly more than Bama, slightly more than LSU. And then I think Florida is actually five after Auburn from a strict talent standpoint. So the question is, can Georgia play to their talent? If they play to their talent, they'll beat Florida. We're to find out whether Florida's advantage from a coaching standpoint can overcome the talent disparity between Florida and Georgia. And if it does, then Florida will win the division. I still think that talent should rule the day, but we do have questions about Georgia. Okay, we have not yet solved the quarterback dilemma on the first team, and we have two more quarterbacks to look at. We've only talked about Kyle Trask and Jamie Newman. Still to come, some conversation about Bo Nix and what I believe Miles Brennan is. Quick break.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes, you Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel?
So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
We're always faced with making tough daily decisions, but have you considered the importance of some of them? Take Social Security, for example. Did you know that when you begin, your benefits will have a permanent impact on your retirement income? What about how much you should save for retirement? Making an informed decision is in your best interest, so call Greg Wells at the Kiwi Financial Group today to understand your choices. They can help you make the best decisions. 864-654-5043.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
We are all living in uncertainty right now, but one thing is for certain, and that is the importance of health and cleanliness in our home. It's one of the things we can control to keep our families safe. There's no one better to clean and disinfect your home than the cleaning experts at Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Right now, get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129 and a free hallway. Visit ZeroResGreenville.com. ZeroResGreenville.com.
Looking to purchase or refinance your home? Look no further. First Home Equity Loans in Greenville is veteran-owned and locally operated in business for 23 years. Named Best Mortgage Company in the Upstate, offering free mortgage analysis to customize loans to each individual. Competitive rates and first-class service. Call First Home Equity Loans today at 864-438-4550. 864-438-4550. Or visit them online at ourmortgageloan.com. That's OURmortgageloan.com.
We know sports. We are the Roar.
Hello there, my old friend. Not so long ago, it was till the end. We played outside in the pouring rain. On our way up the road, we started over again. That's how it's happened, living life by the drop.
Welcome to the Red Rage. We are back. Let me tell you about the health there. Look, here's another success story from the health there. Mr. Adams lost 30 pounds and 39 inches in 8 weeks, and his doctor just cut both his blood sugar and blood pressure medicine. The health there uses cellular health, a whole new concept. It's amazing because it's easy and sustainable. No going to the gym, no running any marathons, no prescriptions from any doctors. You may be skeptical, but call today to reverse your symptoms of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, and sleep apnea in 30 days or your money back. Even better, go to idearme.com, or better yet, call 1-877-IDEARME, because if you tell them you heard it here, it's a BOGO deal. It's buy one, get one when you tell them you heard it here. So call them, tell them that. Go with a friend, go with a family member, go with a coworker. They don't want you to do it alone. Call 1-877-IDEARME, 1-877-IDEARME, and you will thank me later. All right, Kelly, two more quarterbacks to discuss in terms of the SEC, and they are Bo Nix and Miles Brennan. I'll give you my thoughts on Nix first, and then you can chime in on what you think. Nix is a guy that Clemson recruited way back in the day. Nix is a really gifted, very competitive young man. He reminds me a little bit of Brett Favre at a similar stage, except I think he's smarter than Favre. Now, I think he was thrown in a really difficult situation last year. The one thing that Auburn had some injuries. They asked a lot of a freshman quarterback, you know, at his best. Even when he was inconsistent, like the Oregon game, he still found a way to win that game. I think we saw that he has an it factor. He has a big arm. He has a very live arm, absolute NFL arm. I think there's an awful lot to like about Bo Nix. My belief is he's really ready to take the next step, and I think he has the talent at wide receiver to be able to do that. I think with Seth Williams and the talent that he has at receiver, and now you get Chad Morris coming in, I think that Morris will help that situation as well and help his development. So I'm very optimistic about Nix. My one concern is that this was a very experienced offensive line last year, and you're going to lose much of that experience, and that concerns me a little on the Knicks front. But overall, I still expect Knicks to have a big year, and again, I think Seth Williams is maybe the most undervalued receiver in the league. And then Anthony Schwartz is back healthy, and we'll see what exactly that means to Auburn. But for those who don't know, Schwartz is probably the fastest player in America. He's legit 10.05 guy, 10.05, 10.06, whatever it is he's run. He has untrained world-class speed, and I think that he should be a big factor. Kelly, I'm high on the situation. I'm high on Knicks, and I'm high on this combination of Morris and Malzahn getting the best out of him.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt he's going to improve, and definitely a solid freshman campaign. There were some issues offensively, just kind of down the stretch, where I think at times they tried to take the ball out of his hand. They tried to run it out of his hands, I should say. They tried to run it. When you look at some of the games where he didn't really attempt that many passes and he didn't reach the 200-yard mark, completion percentage can improve, as we know. But he was only a freshman. He was thrown in there from the jump, just thrown in there and expected to go play well. And, of course, we all know what he did in the Oregon game. And he has that ability to show up big in those big moments. So I have a lot of faith in his potential, there's no doubt. Bringing in Chad Morris, I think Chad Morris is back where he belongs. He seems to excel in the position of offensive coordinator, where he doesn't have the responsibilities of being the CEO and all these types of things. If he can recruit and be the offensive coordinator, I think that's where he's going to excel. So that is going to help Bo Nix, no doubt. But we'll see how much he can improve with a running game that we're not quite sure what it's going to look like without Whitlow. But I do like Williams and Stove and Schwartz and these receivers they bring back. He brings back his top three, which are really good news for Bo Nix.
Yeah, I think the Knicks is an NFL quarterback, and I think we're just starting to see the best of him. On my preseason 101 most impactful, he was a top 20 player for me. I think I had him in the 16 range. In fact, it might have been 16 exactly. So I have big expectations for him. The other guy that also made my top 20 is Miles Brennan, and I realize that people don't know Miles Brennan. And I realize there's a lot of turnover at LSU, but Brennan actually has better arm strength than Burrow, and he has the same sort of gunslinger attitude. He has a very quick release. I think there's a lot to like. He does not have the ability to extend plays that Burrow did. He's going to be more of a pocket guy, and he's going to want to get the ball out quickly. But when it just comes to arm talent, he actually has an advantage over Burrow. And obviously LSU is going to continue to run the same system. They ran a lot of five-man protection most of the year. They put everybody out into the pass patterns, and it made it impossible for even the best defensive minds in college football to slow them or stop them, as we saw when LSU played Clemson in the national championship, and LSU, even after a slow start, put up over 600 yards of offense. They're not going to go away from that formula. The question is, how many personnel losses, how significant? I'm of the opinion they're still loaded with talent. Much like when Clemson loses talent, people always expect the sky to fall, and then it doesn't, and people act surprised. You know, LSU is a perennial 9-10 win team. It's not like they haven't been recruiting. They've been recruiting. I mean, their third string back, John Emery, was a five-star guy. And so they have a lot of talent in the pipeline. They also have a ton of top flight talent coming back. You know, I think in Jamar Chase, they have the nation's best receiver. And from all reports, one of the nation's best leaders as well. And Terrace Marshall is probably the most underrated receiver in America right now, given what he did last year. Somehow, people don't even realize this guy had 13 touchdown catches last year. And he's back. So those two guys between them had over 30 touchdown catches. I think 31, I believe, combined touchdown catches comes back for LSU. So, you know, the notion that they're not bringing back talent, I think, is flawed. My biggest question is the offensive line, where you lose three guys to the NFL, and I do have some questions about that. But I do believe that Brennan is going to have a really big year statistically. I think he's going to really shock people with the year he's going to have. And by the way, the Max Johnson kid behind Brennan, who is a freshman, who is the son of Brad Johnson, he is a big-time talent. He's going to be the next great thing at LSU. He's 6'5 and 230 pounds and has Burrow-like mobility and the ability to extend plays. I think certainly there are some questions, but just from a talent evaluation standpoint, I think Miles Brennan is going to be in this conversation, and I think he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. I think that people are going to be surprised at just how productive LSU remains. It won't be last year. They've lost too many pieces for it to be last year, but it is going to be better than people think, and I think Brennan statistically is going to look really good. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, he definitely is. And, you know, one of my biggest questions here, yeah, obviously Miles Brennan is the question. How much can he look like Burrow now? Burrow, 60 touchdowns, 6 picks. If Miles Brennan throws 40 touchdowns, they might say, eh, you weren't Joe Burrow, right? So that's a tough thing to replace. But the bigger question is, how much did Steve Ensminger pick up last year from Joe Brady, and how much of that can he continue to install and maintain? Because we know LSU is committed. They are committed to the spread. They're not going back. Whereas you talk about a Georgia or someone like that, can they fully commit to this new offense? LSU is committed, but no Joe Brady. I mean, Ensminger is, you know, is an experienced guy, and he is still that offensive coordinator. But how much of a drop-off is there going to be without Joe Brady being kind of that QB whisperer? And then you also have to bring up the fact that now we've got Bo Pelini as the defensive coordinator, and a defense that lost a lot up front. They do bring back two exceptional defensive backs, so they're probably going to be fine. But I think a lot of it comes down to the coaching side with LSU, and how much of a drop-off is there when you don't have Joe Brady and you don't have Dave Aranda.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you get into this issue of, from a percentage standpoint, who was most responsible for their success last year? Where did it start? Mm-hmm. And, the guy who seems to get no credit is Orgeron. Because, really, you know, he's the guy who started it. He's the guy who went and plucked Brady. It's not like Brady was any star in LSU. He was like, with the Saints, he was like the guy who got the water. I mean, you know, and somehow we've created this story that Brady is this brilliant offensive mind. I'm just not sure how much of that is true. I think we're going to find out this year. I really think this. I think it was sort of the perfect storm situation for LSU. And I do think that the biggest change was that they went from a 7-man protection scheme to a 5-man protection scheme. And they basically said, we're putting it all on you, Burrow. You can see the blitz coming. You know where it's coming from. And nobody can cover when we put all of these guys into the pattern. There is nobody in America who can match up with all of these guys and still match up with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that proved to be true. It was indefensible. The real story, Kelly, is that not only did this team go from a prehistoric scheme to a spread, they went to the spread. And I think that's the biggest story in the whole
deal.
Right,
the best offense in the country.
They went from prehistoric to a 5-man protection scheme, which nobody else was running in a dedicated fashion but them. So they went from like one absolute extreme to as extreme in the other direction as you can get. And so now what is interesting to watch is, do they just continue that? You know, and it's as you said, look, Ensminger should know enough to run the same exact scheme and to continue to utilize the 5-man protection. That's why I think it gets back to the offensive line. I think that offensive line last year turned out to be good enough to allow for all that. Is this group going to be good enough to allow for all that? Now, I've had several conversations with LSU people, including play-by-play voice, and they seem to think that that it is. So we shall see. If it is, then I think you can expect big numbers out of LSU again. You know, I still think, you know, schematically, they're the most advanced offense in the league, and off a one-year sample set. And will they continue to play to it? I think that's what remains to be seen. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. If Georgia's the most interesting team, LSU year two might be the second most interesting.
For sure. And it does beg the question, kind of to your point, Walt, if Brennan, let's just say Brennan struggles early, and it might be a blessing for LSU not to have a team like Texas right off the bat, but if he struggles early, does LSU throttle it back a little? And maybe give him a little more protection. Because with Joe Burrow, they knew that they could go full speed ahead with this new spread offerings, as innovative as possible. We'll see if Brennan allows them to do that right from the jump of the season.
Well, and remember, and adding to that is that the magic about Burrow was really his ability to extend plays. You know, he was almost unbelievable in that regard. And that set him up for a lot of the big plays downfield. And that's the one element that I'm just not sure you're going to get with Brennan. More of this on the other side. Justin and Dave, coming right to you.